Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. Welcome, everyone. This is Nazim Abdul Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, here for another great, fantastic show on this relatively new series called Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth. Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth, Part 3. I always want to tell my regular listeners that this is the same thing, that in order to hear these series, to go into the archives and scroll down and hear all the shows. You see, yes, www.blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred and scroll down. I started a series with 12 Principles of Recovery for those in addictions, and then went to relationships with improving marriages. And now we're on Conscious Parenting and Personal Growth, Part 3. All these series are based on the information in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing on these shows is expounding from the chapters as it relates to the topic. Okay? And when you look at the title, you might ask, well, how are these two related? Well, it's very important as a parent, if you don't have certain things in order, such as self-esteem and personal growth, you don't feel the best about yourself, you don't have the best relationships, what happens, the child, absorbs all this. They become what they see. They see you as a poor mother, poor father, and poor relationship, very dysfunctional, fighting, profanity, drugs in the house, and all that. Or you just can't relate to your child in a connective way. You might have came from the generation saying that children are made to be seen and not heard. You know, so all those things really diminish the child's ability to become all that they can become. So this is why this series is on two parts. Become the best yourself and become the best parent you can be. Okay, so it's twofold there. All right, always twofold. All right. I always want to welcome all my listeners calling in, and as you're calling in and listening, as you do regularly, and I thank you for that. If you want to ask questions or be a part of the timely discussion, just push 1 on your telephone pad and you're right in, all right? All right, very good. Oh, by the way, the book, you can get it at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. My website, www.cloudsofabundance.com. cloudsofabundance.com, and you can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. All righty, wonderful. So last week, we were talking about self-esteem, very, very important to have for sure. And we're going to have the child talk about visualization today. We have to start with visualization. Because if you can't dream, if you can't visualize what your life is going to be, if you're not a good visualizer, how are you going to plan anything? You can't plan. You can't do that. You know, and you have to teach these skills to your loved ones. Right? Very important to do that. All right? Yeah. So visualization or guided imagery. Yeah, works for anything you need to accomplish in life. If you think from the end, as one of my mentors, Dr. Wayne Dyer, talks about in his book, The Power of Intention, we already have in our mind the desired results firmly fixed as an already fulfilled act. You have to see yourself crossing the finish line. Yeah. So you need to start seeing yourself right now as, the best father, mother, wife, husband, whatever fits you at the time. See yourself best right now in that position. Doesn't matter what you've experienced. Doesn't matter what you went through. Doesn't matter what people have told you or what you've been programmed to do or programmed to parent. It's what you would like to have happened, okay? Absolutely. Yeah. So that's real important, okay? It's really good to be a good visualizer. A good painter, a good dreamer, an optimistic, positive, expectant person, and of course, a person of faith. So as I'm preparing you to be the best parent for your child and being the best yourself, you have to first have a clear picture of what that picture looks like. Mm-hmm. How you look in that position? Yeah, yeah. How are you standing as you're even talking to your little one? Are your arms always folded, and are you grimacing? Are you looking at TV while you're talking to them? Looking out the window on the phone? All those things paint images to your child, whether you are listening or not listening. You see? Very important to understand that. See, visualization is powerfully focused thought in pictures, and it causes equally powerful feelings. When you are visualizing, you are emitting powerful frequencies in the universe. The law of attraction will take hold of that powerful signal and return them back to you just as you saw them in your mind. Yeah, this quote came from Rhonda Byrne, who created The Secret. Remember The Secret a long time ago? Yeah, very important. When you visualize, you materialize. Yeah, see, it's very important to strengthen your visualizing muscles. If you're not used to doing it, you might put off as just a random dream or just pipe dreams or just something that you did that's nothing to take seriously. Rethink those thoughts. Rethink those thoughts. Yeah. Just think about the person who created the paperclip. Think about that person. Simple little paperclip that you take for granted. Everybody uses them. No one gives them any special attention. But think about the first person who visualized this that everybody around the world uses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about that. He visualized this as being an important kind of easy thing to hold papers together, bend it all kind of ways, yeah, without it breaking. Yeah, he visualized that. Now he has it. How about the person who has, you know, the little bumps on the highway when you're in your lane and your stripes are there and the little bumps are there, kind of make sure that you don't cross the line if you don't want to, in case you're like, you know, dozing or something. You hit those little bumps. Yeah. I was told that the guy who invented that gets like half a cent for each one used. There's trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of those being used all over the world. Yeah, for sure. You know? And but that person visualized having something in the road that your tires will feel that will make you realize what lane you're supposed to be in. You see? Yeah, that was from a good visualizer. So this is what I'm talking about here, you know? So very important. When you're visualizing, you focus on the end results without distraction. It is the feeling that strengthens or fuels the visualization. Yeah. Focus on that innocent child that needs your love. Attention, nurturing, validations, guidance, a listening and empathic ear. Keep your mind on the product, and the process will be easy. So you have to be really free. You have to really feel this experience, not just see it. You got to feel it. Yeah, real important. You know. So ask yourself: are you a good visualizer? Look at what you have accomplished already. Did it come from you visualizing that ahead of time? Did it? Yeah. So think about it. Our children, now some are born great visualizers and some are not, you see. But even if they weren't, by them seeing you being the great visualizer, always come up with new ideas and new places to go even for vacations, family vacations, things like that. You see, new ideas, new creations. What happens? You pass that along to them. And as you're doing it more, you get strong in the area. Yeah. Then y'all can visualize together. Sure. Ask your son or daughter, well, son, what do you think? Where do you think we should go next year? You see, you know, what would you like for us to do as a family? Yeah, for sure. And if your son or daughter has, you know, this down already, they're visualizing, you know, encourage them. Yeah, encourage them. So that's very important to do that. You see, we should encourage our children to visualize often. They should, you know, we should help them dream creatively. support their dream experiences, and ask open questions about their dreams. See, in this way, we as parents will be supporting their future aspirations, goals, and motivations. You see, their self-esteem, self-image, and self-confidence increases dramatically. Yeah. Yeah, that like Dr. Wayne Dyer says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Yeah. Yeah, visualization is extremely necessary for all the elements in this book Reconnected to work. Yeah. This goes along with the last series with having a good marriage and having a clean and sober productive life. Yeah, it goes hand in hand with all those things. It is intertwined with all the concepts presented here. Mm-hmm. You have to clearly see yourself validating others, operating as a committed optimist. Yeah, optimist instead of a pessimist. A lot of you are pessimists out there. As a high self-esteemed, and high self-image person connected to God, manifesting strong, unwavering faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exhibiting strong communication and listening skills. Continuously being grateful for the known and unknown blessings. Having good financial intelligence. Hello. A lot of us have real issues in the area. Yeah, because we didn't have it. You know, it wasn't passed down to us. We take that as an excuse not to learn. But no, nowadays, no excuse. Learn from someone. You know, understand the stock market, the bear and bull markets. Understand those things. Understand CD accounts and, you know, how to save, how to invest wisely. Yeah, think about your kids. You know, suppose you saw your parents as good financial investors. Hmm? And they passed that information to you. Think about where you would be now. You see? Oh, yes. Yes. How about thinking and acting as a responsible, contributing adult, internalizing and managing your emotions? We're going to talk about that, too, after a while. Yeah, for sure. Having only healthy, life-producing attachments. Yeah, got to qualify that. If they aren't healthy, life-producing, then you get rid of them. Yeah. Accepting only the proper relationship characteristics, no codependencies in business or personal areas. You got to clearly see yourself as one with a strong, independent thinking mindset, but simultaneously checking the ego, knowing that we are only a wave in the ocean and not the ocean, okay? Yeah, I was talking about ego quite a bit on my show, my Reconnected show on Saturdays for the past couple weeks, and also next week too. Yeah, mm-hmm, very important. Everybody got that? Yeah, visualization, so very important, all right? All right, now, next we're going to talk about self-image. What image do you see when you look in the mirror? What image do you see in your mind when you just sit down thinking about yourself? What do you see yourself as in a occupational mode? You know, what kind of job? How you see yourself in the world? Yeah, real important. Yeah, how do you? You know? And how you see yourselves is what you'll become. The need for a healthy self-image is crucial for the balanced, emotionally intelligent future adult. The self-image determines how the young child will develop. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Your self-image is like a thermostat set in the house for 78 degrees. Hear this now. When the house gets cooler than 78, the heater comes on until the temperature is 78. When the temperature gets above 78, well, the air conditioner comes on to bring the temperature down to 78. The self-image we set for ourselves consciously or unconsciously is how we are going to be, despite external conditions. We can rise nor fall any further than our self-image. Did you know that? Yeah, Dr. Nathaniel Brandon, another mentor of mine, as I was studying the whole area of personal growth, he says, self-image or concept includes self-esteem, but it is broader. It concerns my overall perception of my traits, abilities, limitations, shortcomings, and strengths. So self-concept has self-esteem as the evaluative component, but self-concept includes a great deal more, like what is appropriate to me, and what I am able to do or not do, what my strengths are and what my limitations are. If you have a high self-image of yourself, say being a great auto mechanic, for example, you're going to be more attentive in your auto mechanics class. Mm-hmm. You're going to do well on your tests. You're going to ask intelligent questions, which will demonstrate your own genuine interest. Yeah, it matches up, see? When you experience some defeat along the way, you'll shrug it off and forge on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you graduate and select a place of employment in which to show your new skills, you walk with confidence and self-assurance. The prospective employer notices this spirit and what? You're hired. As a mechanic, you start to get compliments from customers and fellow workers. Yeah. All this positive feedback reinforces and raises your self-esteem along with your self-image. See it now? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm going to give you some good examples here pretty soon. Another good examples. The same principle applies to a person with low self-image. They never expect much to come to them, and they get exactly that. The law of attraction in action. Yeah. Now, they are in the same auto mechanics class only because they needed an elective class, and this one was the only one offered. They miss many main points in the class because they were not attentive enough. This person kind of likes the class, but they don't see themselves doing well as a mechanic or anything else in life. When they get a bad grade, they get reassurance that they don't measure up with the rest of the class and that they are a loser, which complies with their own internal image. They get caught up in a downward spiral of misery and disappointments. Let's say, for example, that you are a great elementary school teacher. Yeah, this is a great example here. You have been in that position for the past 15 years in the same classroom with the same grade level students. You love that position. The kids love you there. The principal and others in the administration are quite pleased with your performance. You show honesty, integrity, punctuality, commitment, and a real passion for your profession. These kind of qualities or transferable skills are very attractive and can be used for other positions. The principal is given a notice from the school district that there is an in-house opening for an assistant principal, and he wants to recommend you for that prestigious position. His staff all agree that you are the perfect person to fill that position, and they wish to write letters of recommendation in your behalf. Well, they're all excited for you, as this would definitely be an advancement for you. Oh, absolutely. There will be an advance in salary, flexibility in job duties and decision-making. Yeah, your rational, multitasking, and decision-making skills will be utilized, which will help you in your own development. You are presented with this offer, and hey, you accept it. Hey, why not? More money, more money, more money. Everybody is supportive, and you feel great and appreciated. Now, after some time goes by, for the transition period, you start your new position. You look around. You look around your new office and surroundings. You notice a lot of people on the same floor working in their own office space. The sound of computers, faxes, various conversations, and many new faces. You say to yourself, I am thankful for this great opportunity, and I'm going to do a wonderful job for this school. But deep inside, you're saying, I am a fraud. I don't belong here. These people are crazy for hiring me. Me, grade school teacher? How did I get here? Don't these people know who I really am? Now, where are my kids? Oh, I wonder who is teaching them now. Will my replacement know how to handle the class like I did? I wonder how little Sarah is doing. Well, you do your supposed best in the new position, but the principal and his staff notice that you aren't really measuring up to the ideal that the principal and all the recommendation letters presented. You aren't as punctual or as attentive at meetings as you were as a teacher. Wow. You are distracted at times when there are critical matters to attend to that need, matters to attend to that need your undivided attention now. After 30 days of performing at an unacceptable level, the principal relieves you as a probationary period dictates. Now, disappointed, hurt, and frustrated, you approach the principal for a discussion about your career. He, being disappointed with you, understands what is going on and offers your old job back. You, being surprised and delighted, gladly accept and prepare to go back to work. Now you feel light inside and assurance that everything is going to be all right. Let's look at this. What is happening here? Mary, we'll call her Mary, had as her self-image a great giving third grade school teacher. Now that image was solid within Mary's psyche. The image guided her day by day. She lived up to the image for 15 years. Mary's mode of operation was consistent. Her outer image and inner image was in sync. Her inner house was set at 78 degrees, and the temperature was a constant 78 degrees. So, what happened to her when she made a change in career, which should have been a cause to celebrate? Her outer world or image no longer matched her inner world or image. Anxiety set in. Being an assistant principal did not fit her self-image. Mary consciously accepted and loved the advancement, but subconsciously, Mary was scared to death and felt way out of place. So what did she do? She unconsciously sabotaged her position, just as a thermostat kicking in to lower or raise the temperature to match the 78 degrees. See, the assistant principal position and image was way above her own image of herself, and her own inner unconscious self had to do something to bring the outer image in line with her inner image. Everybody see that? Yeah. See, Mary wasn't operating at her level of incompetence, but she was promoted beyond the level of her self-image or concept. It had nothing to do with her competence skills, but instead it was her own perception of herself, not seeing herself as an administrator. If Mary really wanted to move up the ladder, she would have to change her vision of herself and modify her self-image. Her self-image could then embrace a higher level of success. Now, do you see that? Is that clear? Where we see ourselves, we're going to be. And if we're put into a position where we're above that, you'll self-sabotage that'll bring you right on back down, you know, to what's comfortable. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's why it's very important. You know, if you want a certain position, visualize it first. That's why visualization chapter was before this one. Visualize it first. See yourself there. See yourself operating as that person. Feel good. See? Then when that position comes, you'll be ready for it. Yeah, for sure. Very important to understand that. Everybody get that? Yeah. All right. Now, what do you do to get and keep an advanced position? How do you change careers and have some kind of assurance that you're going to keep that position? How do you become successful at school, acquiring healthy friends, finding and keeping your life partner? Yeah. Attaining your goals or loving and living life? Well, there is a way, and this is very necessary for you to know. Really accept and internalize, thus equipping you to give this reality to your little ones. See, high self-esteem people are oriented toward challenge and opportunity, whereas low self-esteem people are oriented toward safety and security. Now, where are you now? Are you oriented toward challenge and opportunity, or are you oriented toward safety? What is safe? Always talking about what is safe, 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 safe. I know a brother. The brother right now got good. He's a good videographer. You know, he took a lot of my pictures for this book and other things. And he's a performer at weddings. He's taken a lot of good pictures and videos of weddings. And he could do it full time. You know, yeah. He has a way of putting the right kind of music that you want on there and presenting with a CD that looks excellent, top notch. But his wife is scared for him to jump out like that. You see, she's oriented towards safety and security. Yeah, yeah. Instead of looking at the possibilities. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Here's another tool you can use with your child. You can encourage him or her to think about activities that present challenges and opportunities as they get older. Yeah. Use some of your own life experiences as examples. Okay. Now, Albert Einstein says, imagination is more important than knowledge. It is a preview of life's coming attractions. All right. Yeah, Einstein. Yeah. Remember I talked about Dr. Dennis Waitley, one of my mentors? Here's another quote from him. He says, it's not what you are that holds you back. It's what you think you're not. Individuals behave not in accordance with reality, but in accordance with the perception of reality. The sub-image is the fundamental key to understanding all of human behavior. If you change the sub-image, you change the personality and the behavior. Another doctor, Dr. Maxwell Maltz, some of y'all might have heard of him, from his award-winning book, Psycho-Cybernetics, talked about a woman who thought she had an ugly nose and wanted a nose job. She went to a recommended plastic surgeon and went through the procedure. After the surgery and the swelling, the doctor revealed her new nose to her with great anticipation that she would be ecstatic. She looked at herself in the mirror and sadly said that she didn't see much difference and that she still felt ugly. Everybody was shattered. Her self-image was one of ugliness. So no matter what happened on the outside, her perception was reflected on what was the inside view of herself. Yeah. Dr. Maltz says, quote from him, when you see a thing clearly in your mind, your creative success mechanism within you takes over and does the job much better than you could do. Yeah, by conscious effort or willpower. Yeah, that's very important. Very important story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nose job there. She, you know, after the bandage came off, she said, I still feel ugly. So she was still seeing that ugly nose. In her mind, it was ugly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we got to turn this around. And like I was saying in the beginning, just think about, suppose we had parents who did this and we saw this. Saw them do, and raising their self-image, teaching us to raise our self-image. Where would you be now? Mm-hmm. So, we can pass this on to our little ones, or might be our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing, we have to monitor our self-talk. Now, you know, this is big. This is big. We have to monitor our self-talk. It is our self-talk or intrapersonal communication that forms our self-image. Oh, yeah. You see, self-talk forms you. It literally forms you. Since I'm training to be as emotionally strong as you can, first as an individual, and second as a mentor, to your little ones, good parent, it is critically important to verbalize the descriptions and aspirations about yourself in the affirmative posture. Remember, the way we carry ourselves is serving as a model for your children. The way you're carrying yourselves. Your current situation, however different as it may be from what you want it to be, doesn't matter now. It is not about where you are that matters. It's about where you want to be. Saying to yourself, I am no good at selling. I can't make my sales quota. Or, you can make things happen, but I can't. Or, marriages for me always wind up failing. I'm a failure at relationships. Every time I attempt to get ahead, I get disappointed. Or, I could get a date if I wasn't so ugly looking. Or, bills instead of money always find its way to me. Or, I can't go to the show, I'm broke. Or, I won't participate in the play because I don't appeal to anybody. Or, I can't speak up at these parties. No one was interested in what I have to say. You see, yeah, these statements from your self-image and, what they do, they create the path you're on and where you're going. Yeah, they do. They form you and they create the path and put you on a path. All that. Yeah. Dr. Dennis Wade goes on to say, each of us are controlled by these mental pictures that we form. We cannot outgrow these limits that we place on ourselves. We can only set new limits within which we must live. Our self-image determines the kind and scope of a person we are in every walk of life. It is our life-controlling mechanism. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, why continue to say these things when nothing good is produced from them? Yeah. Why do that? Why do that? So what if they're currently true? So why, you're saying things that, I'm laying my bills again. Oh, here comes another bill. Oh, my God, I can't do nothing about it, Hey, so what if certain of those things are currently true? How does your life change by saying these things? To create changes at the core self-image level, you need to start with changing your self-talk. Yeah. As you do this regularly, a pattern is created, and it is then easy and natural. It's easier to teach and model to others when it is second nature to you. You want to be a winner? Then say it. I am a natural born winner. As you're looking at yourself in the mirror is on stage, It is where you practice your lines, your new looks, your new appreciations. Every day you are feeding your self-image storage bank, which either works for you or against you. It either works for you or against you. You're doing it anyway. You might as well do it so you get benefit out of it, Now, you might not remember last week, I was talking about having a cheerleading squad in your mirror, in your behalf. Let's check that out again to bring home the point of you having a high self-image. See, your name is Amir. And you're seeing six Amirs cheering you on as you look into the mirror first thing in the morning. One is saying, "You look pretty good today." Another one is saying, "You're going to create miracles today." Another one is saying, "Hey, the man, you look like you have been working out." Another will say, "You've got what people need to have, and they can't wait to experience you today." Another will say, "You're getting better and better and better, and your family, friends and coworkers will be glad and appreciative of your presence." Yet another one will say, "Your wife or husband is a pretty lucky person to have you as their mate." Now, to ask yourself, how would that make you feel experiencing that kind of boost every morning? How would you feel if someone told you these things as a child and adolescent? Well, that's exactly what you're going to do with your child. All right, Here's a poem by a good friend of mine. Young sister named Tanya Hassan. Tanya Hassan. I know her father, Rafiq, real well, good buddy of mine. She sent me a poem and asked me, you know, told me it was okay to use it and recite it. It's called When I Grow Up. Remember, when I'm talking about these things, just imagine how you would have felt if you were around your parents doing this, okay? And your parents actually teaching you how to do it. She says, when I grow up, I want to be just like the lady in the mirror staring back at me. I want her eyes, her laugh, her smile. I want her to look in the mirror and stare at me a while. Excuse me. When I grow up, I want her hair, her curly locks bouncing everywhere. I want her perfectly white teeth and flawless skin. I want her to tell me what great shape I'm in. When I grow up, I want pierced ears so I can wear silver and diamond earrings during the festive time of year. I am to buy cute shoes and dresses, wear lipstick and blush on my cheeks. These are the things that I want when I am as big as she. This morning, I looked into the mirror on birthday 33. I was happy that I had grown into the lady staring back at me. Ooh, isn't that something? Yeah, Tanya Hassan. All right. You see, our self-image dwells in our subconscious. Not all at the conscious level. The conscious level is responsible for collecting information from the environment, storing it in our memory cells, and making rational decisions. The subconscious is responsible for autonomic body control such as breathing, heartbeat, the storage of information, and creative goal seeking. The conscious level cannot do anything without consulting with the subconscious level first. Did y'all know that? Yeah. The subconscious level checks its storage bank, which houses the self-image and then replays the self-image information back to the conscious level. It is not the conscious level that controls the subconscious level of thinking, but the subconscious level that controls the conscious level. Subconscious level that controls the conscious level. Nothing is done without reference to the subconscious level of thinking. Its sole function is to follow what we feed it, being totally objective. Oh, yeah, this is very important. We can either feed positive producing information or negative producing information, and we are doing that just every day, whether we are conscious of it or not. Yeah. So, when we notice unfavorable results in our lives, we should look to see what self-image information is being brought forth to our conscious reality. Oh, this is something else. Yeah. And we do this by first noticing what kind of self-talk we are conducting. The more we can internalize this process, the more we can model and guide ourselves. Yeah, guide ourselves and guide our little ones. The healthy ones realize that they are in control of their internal thermostat, and when they want change to happen, they reset the thermostat to their desired temperature. See, that's how this is done. Yeah. They change their self-talk and their internal image of themselves. They walk, talk, and act differently. They conduct their affairs differently and create new standards for themselves. You see, they chart a different course and stay on their new track. Soon, this new behavior becomes their new habit, and then at the same time, it is their new way of being set on automatic. Now, that's a mouthful. Did you get that? This is why I like this Blog Talk program, because when you go back in the archives and play the show, just put the mouse over that little cursor, you know, it's kind of like rewind. It is rewinding, really. And you can slide it right back. Because in case you missed what I said just then, you can slide it back and hear it over and over and over again. Yeah, for sure. So also, if you look at page 70 in my book, Reconnected, you'll see it there too. All right? Another good friend of mine called Dr. Mubashir Ugda, he says, how we view ourselves and interpret the reality around us have a profound influence and effect on human psychology, motivation, and behavior. Yeah. Now, visualizing, imagination, and faith in your higher self are three of the most important qualities that successful people possess. Yeah. Visualization, imagination, and faith. Yeah, for sure. These areas are vital in creating a high-producing self-image. The greater your ability to creatively daydream, the better you will be in creating a new future for yourself. Yeah. Are you getting this? This is very important information here. Very important information. See, our pitch of ourselves is too low. We wonder why we're not getting certain positions, or why, you know, marriages aren't working, or we can't stay off the pipe. Our standards are too low that we have submitted ourselves to. Way too low. Way too low. That's why I have like that. So, are we constantly thinking about these things? Listen to this. The job we hate. The people we have to work around that annoy us. The spouse that we are loathing. The bills that are increasing. The poverty that seems to control us. The relationships that are depriving us of life. Yeah, some relationships are just draining you. The kids making us mad. The fear in a neighborhood. The downward spiraling of our life. Well, I felt that many times. The glass ceiling on our jobs. Racism, sexism. The deteriorating school system. Boy, they're in bad shape. If we are, then we are subtly giving our subconscious mind more data to feed back to us as more of the same realities. Yeah, think about that. So if you're constantly thinking about these things, you're actually planting seeds into your subconscious. And also plant seeds in the development of your self-image. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Important to monitor your thoughts. What do you think about? What are you thinking about right now? Is it helping you or hurting you? Is it feeding you or is it draining you? You have to know that. Yes, you have to know that. Very important to understand that. Yeah, remember, it's your subconscious level of awareness only, you know, makes real for you what you hold in your mind and in your conversations. This is why it's important not to be around those people who are naysayers. You're always talking bad about someone, backstabbing, or just saying how things cannot work. You know, how they tried something and it failed, and they get an amen corner over here. And that's right, bro. That's right. That's how it is. That's how life is. You know, get up, get knocked back down again. That's how it is. You see? Yeah. Don't get caught up in that energy field. Don't do it. Don't do it. So you see, you have to change your mental pictures and your conversations. You have to change your circle. We have to form the picture of what we want and not what we don't want. Why do we do that? Talk about what we don't want all the time. I don't want this headache. I don't want this knee to bother me. I don't want this hand to hurt. I don't want this back, you know. Why do you do that? You just bring on more of that kind of negative energy. Yeah, for sure. Talk about what you do want. Hey, I'm loving my neck right now. My hands feel good. Oh, yeah. I see beauty come in from everywhere. Yeah, for sure. You see, you have to have a strong image of your new desired experiences that you can actually taste, smell, and feel the image as if you already have it. Yeah, feel the feelings as if what you wanted was already in your possession. If it is a new car, what kind of car is it? What year? And color. What does the interior smell like? How does it feel on the road? If you hold this idea long enough and really feel on this image, really feel this, it will on some level manifest itself to you. Yeah, for sure. It's like the basketball coach telling his team not to miss so many baskets and wonders why they keep on missing baskets. See, he's putting the wrong image in their minds, and that wrong image keeps on manifesting itself on the court. Yeah, for sure. You see, we operate from the dominant thought in our brains. Did you know that? The dominant thought here is missing baskets. The mind does not compute negatives like not. The mind picks up only the objective missing baskets. We tell our kids to stop acting like animals and we get more animal-like behavior. We tell our spouses to stop arguing and stop nagging and we get more of the same. We have to focus on what we want and we have to internalize and pass this on to our little ones. Yeah. Yeah, very important. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of get the drift here now? Yeah, for sure. You see, giving children the vision for a creative and productive imagination is a wonderful gift. Yes, it is a wonderful gift. And a lot of them don't have that. They just don't have that. That's why it's so important to do this around them. Mm-hmm. Talk about your dreams and ideas for yourself and the family. Yeah. Your children are naturally imaginative, and to encourage them to be more imaginative is such a blessing for you and them. When children talk about their imagination and visions, you should show interest and ask questions. Yeah, ask questions. Yeah, that spark them to think more about their mental pictures. Don't brush them off by saying, look, don't be silly. There you go with your imaginary friends again. Who knows? You might have a real visionary artist, musician, sculptor, or even a young medium or psychic on your hands. You see, you support them in their dreams, and you'll be supporting their future accomplishments. Let me say it again. You support them, in their dreams, and you'll be supporting them in their future accomplishments. Yeah, for sure. You know, that's really, really bad when I hear about, you know, parents just stifling the kids' imagination. You say, oh, you shouldn't act like that. Don't have this kind of dream, Joe. Those things are impossible. All these don'ts. Don't. Why do you do that? Yeah. So very, very important. You know, I'd love to hear from you. Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. And if you have the book, let me know what part of the book is really doing it for you, okay? Yeah, and if you're following along, I really love that. Tell me that too. Yeah, for sure. All right, the next area we're going to talk about, communication and listening skills. Communication and listening skills. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, this one area is so important, you know, keeping marriage together or causing divorces to happen. You see? Yeah, for sure. And it's also good. And parenting, because what happens, if you can't listen to your kids, I said it, that's right, parents, you should listen to your kids sometimes. It shouldn't be always the kids listening to you. Maybe you have nothing to say. Yeah, for sure. You know, our kids come out as angels, they have something, they are delivering a message from God to you, came from God. You've been here a long time. They're fresh from spirit, fresh from heaven. Huh? From their angel state. Listen to them. Yeah, for sure. So it's important to have listening skills. If you're not empathic with your children, I'm telling you, if you don't make them feel warm and validated, you know, who knows? They might commit suicide, go on drugs, other addictions, become depressed. We have to validate them, make them feel that they're very important, that their lives do matter, that they matter to us. Yes, you have to do that, for sure. That's so very important, so very important. See, when I talk about the need for communication and listening skills in all areas of our lives, be it at the workplace, relationships, parenting, I get some mixed reactions. Some really believe that there is no need for this kind of focus. Do you believe that? Some people actually say that. Yeah. All you need to say in response is just look at the results. Look at the results. Yeah. There's a tremendous need for everyone to learn more about how to communicate and listen effectively. Yeah. Now, communication and listening skills were not taught or modeled in my house at all. No, it wasn't. No. And no one I knew had these skills in their homes. Yeah, a whole lot of dysfunctional homes around. Everybody just did the best they knew how and didn't bother to find new tools, although the ones employed were obviously not working. See, dysfunction continued, and poor modeling became the standard in most homes. Yeah, for sure. Many children don't communicate what they are truly feeling unless they feel comfortable in doing so. Yeah, comfortable in doing so. If the environment is not supporting their spirit, if folks are berating them, belittling them, abusing them, ignoring them, or just not being loving enough, they are not going to feel like opening up. That makes them more vulnerable to more negative energies, of course. See? Now, other children, as we know, are not as sensitive, and they voice their feelings whether they are supported or not. We know a lot of children like that, don't we? Mm-hmm. Since we're preparing you to be the best parent possible and the best person you can be, we have to spend some time with this topic. Yeah, we do. As you're learning more, start applying the concepts now in your own life. Create homework for yourself. Make progress now. Find someone close to the role play and see what happens. Yeah, do that. Okay? Now, the first concept I'm going to look at is I messages. I messages. Very important. Everybody get that? I messages. Mm-hmm. Now, versus you messages. Y-O-U. You messages. Okay? You got to watch this, even in your own conversations, how you use the word I and how you use the word you. All right? Now, I messages focuses on our feelings and concerns. Yeah. Whereas you messages criticizes and or blames. I messages says to us that we own the problem and that we are responsible for our own emotions. You messages creates a feeling in the other person of needing to be guarded and defensive. I messages tells us that we are in charge of our feelings. I messages makes the other person more relaxed and calm. Don't we need that? Yeah. I messages helps in the communication overall process. I messages makes the other person want to listen. Hear that? Can't make them do anything. Makes the other person want to listen, and they become motivated to pay attention to you. Yeah, hear that? I messages and you messages. Just think about it. Kind of make a note as you're talking. We see you see what people do. They take a defense. They aren't listening. They're open. They take a defense because you is a way of attacking. Yeah. Look, instead of saying you made me so mad, you could say, I am feeling angry about that action. Instead of saying, how could you get in the car with a perfect stranger? You are so stupid. You could say, I'm having trouble understanding how you made the choice of getting into a car with someone you didn't know at all. Instead of saying, you were kicked out of class again. You are so dumb. You could say, I am concerned that you are getting put out of class repeatedly, not staying long enough to learn the subject and pass with a good grade. This doesn't make me feel good at all. See? Instead of saying, what in the world is wrong with you? Can't you see that I'm on the phone down? You're so inconsiderate. Could say, I'm really feeling frustrated. Yeah, I'm frustrated right now because when the TV is so loud, I can't hear what the other caller is saying. Help me out here. Steph's saying, quit leaving your effing shoes on the couch. How many times do I have to tell you, stupid? You could say, when I see your shoes on the couch, I feel upset and not respected as I'm trying very hard to keep the living room in order. Yeah. See, you follow that now? Yeah. There's no guarantee that the other person is going to listen to you, even if you take the correct position and use the I messages. But at least you have done your part to communicate your feelings. Yeah, so many kids. I didn't have that when I was growing up, you know. I was one of those kind of kids. I was suicidal myself. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, I have 20 years in mental health and drug counseling fields. So I know what I'm doing here. My own childhood was kind of like I was reflecting here. I didn't feel validated. And sure enough, I had suicidal fantasies a lot and attempted suicide in my teens. Absolutely. Yeah, sure. You know, so my parents didn't know, and so I felt alone. And so why am I here? I had not one person who was a mentor or friend to help me out. No one connected with me emotionally. No. So by not having that, I said, well, I don't matter. I might as well check out of here. So I tried. Yeah. Maybe you had the same feelings when you were young. Who knows? But think about it. As we validate in ourselves, knowing that God validated you, you know, start there. And you show validation, and then you validate your children, you know. Let them know they're the greatest thing on earth, greatest gift that God could have given them, you know, greatest temporary gift. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's very important to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you are honoring your own inner child, you know, by acknowledging your feelings and expressing them. Yeah, it's important to do that. You got to do it yourself. Encourage your children to do the same thing. Too often, we don't acknowledge our own feelings. We bury our feelings deep within because we feel like no one wants to be bothered or no one else cares. So why should I talk? Why should we? The title of Carol K. Truman's book says it all. Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. So I highly recommend getting that book. If I use that book for my study and research for the book here, Be Connected. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a healthy outlet for your feelings, then you are inviting these unacknowledged feelings to surface in unhealthy ways. The inner child cannot be ignored forever. I'm telling you. Now, as you're getting prepared to be the best parent possible, you want to start practicing internally using I messages with yourself. You're going to tell yourself that you're going to honor your divine spirit and your feelings. As you look in the mirror, you can say, hey, I feel good when you feel good. I honor you and all the feelings that you express and don't express. Mm-hmm. Now, as this becomes easier, when you are ready to act with your own little one, your words and demeanor will flow naturally. You will soon be able to make your child feel very comfortable as you tell him or her to express him or herself in an honorable way using I messages appropriately. Yeah. Their feelings are important. I'll say it again. Their feelings are important, and you are letting them know that you feel their feelings are important. Tell them that. Yes, and you would love to hear what they're feeling inside. How they view the world, how they view themselves, how they view you. Oh, yeah, put that out there. Be open for that. Mm-hmm. You will tell him or her that you care, love, and are interested in their feelings and love to hear them expressed. It makes you feel good to hear them speak about their feelings. Their feelings light up your room. This will certainly make them feel supported, safe, secure, and truly loved. This will increase the bonding between you, yeah, between you two, and will have lightning speed results in your personal life. Yeah. This is so important. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to stop right there. And I tell you, it's so important to have this in order. I wish I had this growing up. I'm sure many of you wish you had parents that did this too. But, you know, it's never too late. Now, you can actually go back in time and change the feelings you had in your past through my book. That's what my book, Reconnected, Hollywood Mentor, True Child Self, is all about. I teach you how to go back in time, yeah, and change the scenarios and change the feelings you had from the past. Say your mother left you, your father abandoned you, or I've been incest. Who knows what? It could be the most extreme cases. You can forgive. Yeah, you have the capacity to forgive. You can go back in time. That's what my book's all about, How to Be a Mentor. The mentor to your child self is the self you once were, your younger self. You can be a mentor to your child self. Yeah, you can do that. I'll teach you how to do that. Yeah. So the chapters in the book and the process, I'm going through right now, you know. It's simple. Forgiveness is first. Yeah. Then validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication, listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions. 12 principles of recovery. Identifying and managing emotions. Last chapter, how to be the mentor to your child self. That's how you teach how to go back. Remember, you got to go to the first 13 chapters first before we look at how we go back in time, because you cannot give what you don't have. You have to be in the best shape in order to do this mentoring process or mentoring anybody. Everybody get that? All right, my website again, after the three W's we have, cloudsofabundance.com, cloudsofabundance.com. Email in our book club at gmail.com. Yeah, my Saturday show, Connected Show. Same network, blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. To allow y'all like to kind of listen on your phone. All right, here you go. At 1 o'clock your time, Eastern Standard Time, call 1-347-994-2524. Again, 1-347-994-2524. In fact, I'm going to have a guest, Sister Latifa Hameen will be on a show Saturday talking about domestic violence and how she survived and thrived. Yeah. So that'll be on this coming Saturday. I just host that one. And I'm talking, you know, on this show, which is very good balance. Yeah, very good balance. I thank Imam Alfred Muhammad for allowing me this time to do that. This is really his show, Religion Means Life. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay, wonderful. Fantastic. I'd love to hear from you. So email me. If you go to Clouds of Abundance and get the book that way, I can actually personally autograph it and mail it myself to you. All right? If you have an e-book, you can get it that way too. If you have a Kindle or a Nook, Amazon, Barnes & Noble can handle that. All right? Appreciate that? Okay. Very good. We'll have part four next week with conscious parenting and personal growth. Conscious parenting and personal growth. All right? I'll leave you with the way I started, with a piece that only God has to be with you. The peace and grease. Peace. My God. Grease. The greetings and peace. In peace, I'll leave you with the greetings of peace in Arabic, of the peace that only God has to be with you. Assalamu alaikum.